Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above. And of course, we know this is a crazy week, that there's a lot going on, a lot yet to happen, and this will also spill into next week. And it's kind of exciting, and it's also a little bit scary. The world is a little bit scary. So when we are looking at making big changes in our personal lives in the midst of the upset that's going on in the outer world, it can be scary to us to actually do something that's different or something that is based on an adventure. Remember yesterday, as we talked about the Gate 35 and how that brought us into an adventure. And today we're going to talk more about that. Because the adventure part of that phrase comes up from the gene keys, but also is one of the key words that we find as the moon readies herself to move into Sagittarius in about, 2 hours from now. And we prepare then in more intense ways for the full moon lunar eclipse that will be tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, East Coast time, and later in the evening if you are in Europe, which we're going to talk more about the full moon today, because since it happens tomorrow, I'd rather have all of that prepared for you. And then tomorrow we can talk about a couple of other things, including what's happening next week, and play with my new cards. Look at these Galactic Heritage cards. I don't know if you can see that very clear because it's kind of a shiny, but this is about different galactic heritages, meaning Arcturus and Andromeda and Lyra and Pleiades. We have a whole bunch of different cards here. Let me show you the cards themselves. I haven't even really played with these yet, but here you get an idea of what the cards look like. This is card 55, Fusion and Magic. It comes from Orion. And at the bottom it says present. There's a whole thing in this particular deck about time and about the evolutionary intent of that particular star system. So it's a much deeper. It is an oracle deck, but I think it's just a much deeper message that comes in through those cards. So we'll have to play with them. It will be breaking them in because, like I said, I haven't even unwrapped them fully yet. So we'll play with that tomorrow. But today we're going to take a look at what is going on with the moon as she finishes her transit through the sign of Scorpio and prepares to move into Sag. And we'll also take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day today. And then, like I said, a deeper dive through the eclipse for tomorrow, which is also the full moon. So it is a full moon lunar eclipse tomorrow. But let's start with what the moon is doing with us today. So early in the day, up until 10:18 a.m., because right now we're sitting in the void. And if you'll recall, the void is a time when the moon is not making any new connections to any planets. So it's sort of a time where we don't necessarily start anything new, or we don't force things to happen. It's a time that's great for meditation or yoga or seeking information or contemplation, those types of things, right? But it really is not a great time to push yourself out into the world to try to do something new. So we have a couple of hours yet where we're finishing that Scorpio pathway. And while in Scorpio, the moon is in a sextile to the planet Pluto and to Jupiter. Now, a sextile is a 60-degree angle or relationship between the planets. And it sort of confers it's like they're different elements. So, for example, Pluto's in Earth while the moon is in water. Earth and water are not the same element, but they're compatible elements. And they seem to be able to gift each other with the things that they're each best at. So the earth being grounding and being able to absorb the water, right, from the Scorpio, from the water sign. So we have a sort of nurturing energy between the two. So when we look at a sextile, we're sharing equally between the planets involved or the signs involved. And that aspect brings up some really good communication between the signs, etc. So today, as we're looking then at the moon in Scorpio finishing up her transit through the sign and her coming into contact then with Pluto and Jupiter, who's not far ahead of the sign or of the planet Pluto, it is basically speaking to us of a time to fly. And that's sort of what I named the show this morning, although I may change that as well. But it really is about a time to fly and a time for us to get moving, right? A time for us to let go of the old, the outmoded, the outdated, the deconstructed, and time for us to move on. Then it is also a time, as we look at what Pluto's influence is here, of letting go of the old baggage. And I'm just checking a comment really quickly, making sure, yes, okay, that I wasn't offline because I didn't check YouTube yet this morning to see if I was actually online. Let's go see if I am there. Yes, I am. Okay, so good morning, everybody. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, Amy, Jennifer Peachy, J-Lo, good morning to everybody. Phantom Chroma, good morning. Passion Moku, good morning. And Amanda J, good morning. Amy, Camilla, Ursula, Terry, beautiful eyes, of course. Thank you. Everybody, good morning. So I'm glad everybody's seeing me. Yeah, these are my new glasses, guys. So you notice they're straight across my eyes, not like this. I can see better. When I take them off, my ears don't, or I mean, the temples don't pull my hair. And yeah, it was time. So I'm so glad they're in. Okay, let's go back to the moon in Scorpio. So it's time to let go of the old baggage, and of which the weight of it has been holding us down or holding us back. And how can we fly if we've got too much weight, right? If we have too much of the old still clinging to us. So we got to brush it off and let it go so that we're ready to see what opens up for us between this full moon tomorrow and the new moon 2 weeks from now. So we have a theme going on, it seems like, between the Pluto and Jupiter sextile, and that is about transformation and growth. Then just after the moon moves into Sagittarius, there will be a sextile to the planet Saturn. And Saturn is also adding this energy of rebuilding. And so between them all, if we wanted to look at, you know, the big theme of this time period just before the full moon, it's about regeneration and rebuilding. And you know that in order to do that, if this was a building that we were building and we destroyed the old, we have to throw out the remnants of the old in order to open up to the new. So it's a great metaphor for what is happening for us right now in terms of those three planets. Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto have all three been indicated over the last year in our destruction of societal norms, of the old and the tired and the worn, and in order to make room for what's new. So here we're just batting cleanup. We're trying to get the debris out of the way so that we can move on. Now, also today, and I think this might be best if I show this, if I can, in the chart. So did I bring that up this morning? I did. I actually even changed the time zone. So it was my time zone. So it won't look so funky to me now. And I'm going to share my screen so I can show you a yod that has formed early in the day today that really underscores this need for us to make some changes. Now, of course, you guys remember I'm not real good at doing this drawing, so I'm going to try to do this with as big of a, no, I don't want a spotlight, I want to draw. And I'm going to do it with a big one. And I'm going to show you here, this is the North Node, right? This piece right here, North Node. And it is in a yod today. It is at the point of a yod of Pluto, and over here the moon, and the moon and Pluto are joined by a sextile. Wow, that looks terrible, but it doesn't matter. It did it. And so what we see in a yod, we call a yod the finger of God. And we call it the finger of God because we are forced almost like this is the nozzle end of a hose or a funnel. We are forced to take the gifts of the planets at the basic part or the base end. So the gifts of the moon and Pluto, which are essentially timing and listening to the soul and change, transformation, death and rebirth. So we're taking this death and this rebirth and change and the timing, and we're funneling it down this way right into the North Node, destiny. So it is our destiny as it is shown in the stars above us right now to change, to transform, to let go of the old, to be ready to see what opens up for us as time marches on here. So I love it when we can see, you know, a sort of drawing of what's happening in the skies. Now the moon, of course, moves fairly quickly. So in an hour or two, this, you know, will have gone away. What will remain is this piece right here, this part that is connected to Pluto. So we still have an inconjunct, which I'm going to see. You can just undo that. And then I'm just going to throw that away. Okay. So the inconjunct will remain. And an inconjunct, as you know, is a 150 degree relationship or angle between the planets. And it's one where we have to adjust and we have to sacrifice the old and we have to let go, let God. And we have a lot of flexibility that we need to engage in order to make the change. So Pluto, which by the way, still sitting at the gate of 61 up in the head center, that's shadow energy is psychosis. And it is bringing up this energy toward the change in society at the North Node, whose gift is the love of humanity, right? So we're seeing some very important changes going on in the world, but also in the inner part of who we are, our inner dynamics. So big day, really. I think it is a quietish day. I don't know that there will be a lot of alarm bells ringing, but it almost feels like a day to go within, to really get some clarity around what you want to be, who you want to be, what you want to do. Totally, you know, maybe doing some self-evaluation, some self-contemplation, and preparing for tomorrow, which will be all about, interestingly enough, it'll be a day of manifesting and the 10 in the Pleiadian calendar. And that manifesting, as you know, when we get to the 10, is all about what has your focus been on, right? So if your focus has been on the crazy, then likely that's going to interfere with whatever it is that you've truly wanted to create. So it's almost like today we get to get clear about what do we want to focus on? You know, in a full moon, as we transition now over to the full moon is always a time for us for completion, for letting go, for something being revealed, being prepared for a revelation of sorts. And it might mean that we're, you know, caught up in something and suddenly, wow, we see the reason, or we see how it's been holding us back, or can see something more clearly as one heavenly body or the other is eclipsed. Now, in this particular one, it's the moon that's eclipsed. So what we're having the opportunity to see is where we're not in alignment with our soul, right? Where are you out of that alignment? Where are you trying to push yourself in one direction, but that's the wrong direction? And we're going to see this more as we talk today about this full moon, because it is a little bit of an important crazy moon, first of all, because it's a lunar eclipse, but also because the lunation will be in a square to Mars, and because the gate 5 is the gate that the moon and the earth are sitting at during the eclipse. So we have timelessness, we have patience, and we have the expression of impatience as the shadow energy. So it should be an interesting run to the full moon tomorrow. So let's see, tomorrow the full moon occurs at 12:13 p.m. Pacific time, which is why we will not see it here in the U.S., 3:13 p.m. East Coast time. But for those of you in Europe, at least in the universal time zone, it will be 7:13 p.m., so likely you will get to see the eclipse. Now, as I said, this is a penumbral lunar eclipse. So that's not like the moon turns that dusky red. It's just more of this shadow that goes across the face of the moon, and still a powerful eclipse, but not one that is going to create that scared feeling that people get when the moon turns red, blood on the moon kind of thing. Also, this is happening at 15 degrees, 34 minutes of Sagittarius. That's where the moon will be. And 15 degrees of 1534 of Gemini, and that's where the sun will be. So we have this opposition point between the two luminaries in our lives, right? The more feminine energy of the moon and the more masculine energy of the sun. And how do we want to work with those energies? That's our question, right? So the energy of Sagittarius, let's talk about that first. We'll take a deeper dive because in a couple of hours, we're going to have the moon in Sag anyway. So what do you want to be contemplating in the shadow of this full moon time, this lunar eclipse time? Well, one thing, Sagittarius is all about the quest for truth. And I mean the capital T truth, not the little, you know, things that we take as truth that are maybe not truths. So that might mean a quest for truth involving our religious beliefs or our spiritual beliefs and the relative truth or not in those things that we have come to believe in. And prayer and our connection to our higher power or our higher selves. It may rule the places that we worship. And in that, then being honest and forthright and being open to opening your mind, opening your heart, opening your emotions to seeing the beauty of all beliefs, right? All beliefs. No, I'm not meaning that we need to bash religion. It's not that. It's that there's a tendency, I think, for people of one religion to sometimes look at the other one and go, oh, no, that's you're telling lies or you don't have the truth. But I would say that more than likely all the main religions have some element of the truth. And oh darn, I don't have my Kindle in here. My friend Londa, she hasn't been with us in a little bit because she's been very busy early morning doing calls and things with people. But she sent out a book that was about the sayings of Jesus Christ, Lao Tzu, Buddha, and I can't remember who the other one was, but the four main, maybe it was Muhammad. And it's such a beautiful book because what it really shows you is the grains of truth, the love, the light in the things that these four main religious figures or spiritual figures through time have said. The stories that are similar, right? The stories that are similar, the things that have happened that are similar. And I think if you read something like that, I'm going to have to make a note to myself to post that for you guys because post book, because I think it goes such a long way to helping us to see that being self-righteous and caught up in the beliefs that you think are only yours is so not true and doesn't serve our evolution of consciousness here. We have to become more inclusive of all beliefs and being respectful of all beliefs and being open to the wonder that there is there when you think about how these major religious movements over the course of time, birthed at various times through history, have these common themes running through them. And what does that mean for us? So if we can tap into the theme, not the not the fear, this is the morality of it perhaps, or the ethic of it, but if you could tap into the beauty of them all, what a change it might make in how it is that we entertain the idea of these different spiritualities on the planet. So there is that idea then of the quest for the capital T truth during this period of time, today, tomorrow, and even the next couple of days. Sagittarius and the moon in Sagittarius rules the natural world, our connection to nature, getting back to our very fabric of our roots and the roots that were born out of our awareness of and instinct of natural cycles of time and when it was right to plant, when it was right to nurture, and when it was right to harvest, and when it was time to be in the quiet zone and to be in the void. So that our connection to the natural world is a part of what it is that we are remembering right now. And let me just say something else here. Everything that I'm talking about today, pretty much, with the Sagittarius moon coming up, which means that we're also bringing in Gemini energy, because though the moon is in Sag, the opposite point is Gemini. And what else do we know of that's right now going on across Gemini and Sagittarius? Well, it's the next 18 months of the North Node in Gemini and the South Node in the sign of Sag. So when we look at the South Node in Sagittarius and this full moon actually in Sagittarius, it looks to me as if we have to remember the beauty of the past. We have to remember what fulfilled us in the past, but wherever that past isn't serving us in the now, it's time to let go of that. It's time to move beyond that. So looking at our connection that we used to have to nature, I mean, human beings lived in lockstep with nature, in balance with nature at some point in our evolution. We lost that somewhere along the line. And now you can see the results, the chaos and the dissatisfaction and the fear, because we're out of lockstep with nature. We don't live in accordance with nature anymore. We're living according to some idea of time that isn't even a natural cycle, right? A natural cycle, something we created about when our day should start, when we should eat, when we should go to bed, when, you know, we should rest, when we should take a vacation or not take a vacation. Time and its constructs, right? So our opportunity during this time is to let go of those old ideas of what is time. Maybe letting go of the impatience that we feel about getting moving, getting started, getting somewhere, and become more intuitive. And intuition is also linked with instinct. And instinct is linked to our survival. It is instinct that has helped us, intuition that has helped us survive chaos and, you know, times of plenty and times of not plenty and of scarcity. And we've survived. So I don't know that we really need to still be in the fear that we won't survive anymore. Maybe it's more time to use that intuition to help you be in the right place at the right time with the right people for the right opportunities, right? Sagittarius also is a ruler of freedom, a lover of freedom, the freedom of spontaneity, the freedom of adventure. Interesting, that word shows up when it's also the gene keys gift in this particular sun period of time, where the adventure of life is more important than our fear of, let me see, what was the fear? There was adventure. This is the gate, 35. And what was the fear? Holy cold, my mind just went dead. 35, oh yeah, hunger, where we can't fill the void within us. So filling the void with adventure, with positive expectations, with exploration. And one of the things Sagittarius really loves is foreign travel. And even though right now we're not probably yet ready for that kind of thing, we can travel with our minds through reaching out to people, to getting online and searching out, you know, what were the people of old like in Italy, or what were the Chinese emperors like? We can sort of enlarge or broaden our horizons with our minds at this point, even though we can't travel literally to these foreign places. But maybe it's time to take a look at something that has interested you, but that's so different from you, and see what little tidbits there might be there, little jewels of information for you. Sagittarius also rules the law. And isn't that interesting? We've seen a lot going on around that. It's interesting as well, because I wonder what kind of things the Supreme Court may be bringing to us over the next couple of days, or in the period just after this full moon lunar eclipse. This rules lawsuits, ethics, and morals. And ethics, isn't that interesting? Ethics, what is ethical? And are our ethics and our morals, if you will, are we really in alignment with them? You know, I think of this all the time, because I remember back when Bill Clinton was being impeached over his sexual improprieties with I forgot what she was, and how the Republicans at that time who were really lambasting him. And it wasn't just the Republicans, it was kind of men that were in government and how they were just, you know, throwing out all these things about how horrible this was. And then what was his name? Dennis Hastert, who ends up being exposed as someone who was using prostitutes. And the moral outrage that these people showed, and I'm not talking about the right or wrongness of this. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying here is that there's a lot of hypocrisy and a lot of lack of ethics when you're saying one thing and blasting someone about their morals or their ethics or what they've done, and you yourself are doing it over here, but you've just not been found out yet. So this is really, along with Venus retrograde, a time for us to clean up our own backyards, right? To make sure that if you're sitting in judgment of someone else, or if you're so comfortable in your own ethics and morality that you could tell other people what to do, before you ever even think of doing that, you've got to look at your own self. Are you walking your talk? Are you within your own ethics and your own morals? Because that's a slippery slope if you are not, right? Because then you're sitting in judgment, and maybe it's time to look in the mirror. So we're getting to do that both as an individual, but also as a nation, as a community, as a state. Everywhere we're looking, are we in alignment with what we state as our values? Right? And where we're not, that's where we're seeing this craziness appear. Right? Here in our country, we have this ideal of equality, but we have anything but equality when it comes to how the law is applied. And of course, then that's what's being shown to us is where we're out of balance with that. So in your own life right now, wherever things are kind of crazed or where, you know, there's this negative energy that's going on, it's probably a call for you to look at it closer. What does it mean for you? Where is it? Where is the misalignment? And now's our opportunity to get aligned. So it's really kind of interesting to me about the timing of all of this and, you know, all of the things that are going on in that outer world. At the moment, in sort of lockstep with the things that are potential for us to change inside of us. Now, as well, conscience, that's the other word that comes up here, by the way, with the law, having a conscience. And what does that mean? What does it mean to have a conscience? And that's worth exploring, I think, as we look at all of the different things that we might need to change as a people. Where's our conscience in all of this? Now, because the planet Jupiter is the ruler of the sign of Sagittarius, we have a streak of optimism that's also possible for us during this period of time. Faith, good luck, generosity of spirit, and friendliness are all highly positive qualities that are conferred onto Sagittarius from Jupiter. Jupiter's about good luck. And my experience yesterday with my husband, this was so funny because remember yesterday morning I told you we had to have a talk about patience and about letting go and just allowing the universe to bring things, you know, into proper alignment. Well, it turns out that our car got towed without any problems. It got there. And then it turned out when he had to go through a process of releasing his attachment to how this is all going to happen. Was going to be just under $1,000 to fix. So amazing, because we were both thinking it was this one thing, and we both had to go, okay, we release our thoughts about that and our insistence that it was going to be this. And we stepped back and magic happened. So that's what, you know, that kind of good luck can come in when you are out of the way, right? When you get out of the way, when you become unattached to the outcome. When or detached from the outcome, right? So that's one of the things Jupiter teaches us in Sagittarius. Then, of course, education of all types, especially higher education, where we're seeking information of a higher sort. Our philosophy, seeking answers, finding the truth, right? The big T, truth, capital T, truth. Finding solutions to problems that have plagued us that are different and out of the ordinary. So this is the backdrop to all of the energy that's building up for the eclipse. I'm going to go head over here to Facebook, not Facebook, YouTube, old tapes running in my head. Let's see who else is here this morning. Good morning, Mary. Good to see you. Augustina, great to see you. Allison, hello. J-Lo says, OMG, I wonder. I have few water signs in the family that have been acting out, all mental, indeed. Anna Fulton, good morning. Thank you very much. Phantom Ascended Masters. Is that the title? Phantom Ascended. Oh, the book. I don't remember the name of the book, but I will. I'll post that for you. J-Lo says, yes, I went outside yesterday to give a neighbor 5 flowers for the garden and had a cardinal come visit. And it was tilting its head and looking down, kind of like, what are you doing? What are you doing? J-Lo, I usually go to the pet store, buy him food, and we'll have to order some online now. Patricia Woods, good morning to you. Allison, politicians, do as I say, not as I do. Indeed, indeed. That's exactly right. But we have to expect more than that, right? That's the point here, is that, you know, we've let this go. We've observed it. I know we're powerless to sort of change what's going on in that outer world, except through the way that we change ourselves. So that's the important part here, is to look within. Where has that sort of hypocrisy or lack of ethics? And I'm not saying that we're not ethical. I think we really want to be that way, right? I think we want to have ethics, and I think we want to care, and we want to live from our conscience. But there is a force or a power out there that seeks to build only for themselves. And there's not a conscience there. I think we could call them psychopaths, or we could call them psychos or psychotic. And they've clouded our vision, right? On one hand, they give us, more television, more gadgets, more playthings. And we focus on that and not what they're doing over here. And we become complacent, right? We have become sort of a nation of complacency, and I think that's changing in a very big way, right? These demonstrations and these political activation things that have been going on in at least here in the U.S., I think it's happening around the world, actually, shows that we're waking this movement up and being able to really start to request, demand, command even, that the people that we put into power be ethical and of an upright, open, transparent sort of person. And because without that transparency, we're blind, and a lot of shenanigans can be happening behind the scenes, right? So it's time for us to wake up and take our power back, and to live and to demand and to command that our leaders live and act according to a conscience, right? A moral compass, an ethical compass. So there we have. I'm going to get off my self-righteous soapbox and go back here. And let's talk some more about the eclipse itself, which will be happening at the gate 5 in your human design, or in the gene keys, which is a gate of universal timing. The highest expression of it is timelessness, letting go of time, a time of no time. A time where we are patient, and that patience isn't about where we're just, anxiety in the background while we think we're being patient because we're not taking action. It really takes us to patience and trust, right? Trusting in a higher power, having that faith that even though things don't look like they should at the moment, that they look fairly dark or that it looks like there's a lot of turbulence and turmoil, that we have faith that over the time period here, things will change, that they're moving forward. So patience is an ally here. It is our friend. And that patience is that I'm going to step back from my mind's idea of it happening in the now and let universal timing take that place, being patient, right? So the repressed version of this energy is about impatience and pessimism. It's never going to happen. The world is never going to change. We're never going to get to the light. That's pessimism. And that's the more repressed version. That's the fear within that things aren't ever going to happen the way that you need them to happen or that you want them to happen. And the more rebellious or reactive energies are pushy. And I think we're familiar with both. But I think a lot of the world has been very pushy. People in it, the generators and manifesting generators, with this vast well of power and energy and vitality and life force, getting into the pushing the river, trying to make things happen instead of relaxing into and having patience that all things will happen for the good in the highest and best in universal timing or divine right timing. So we need to learn to trust the natural rhythms and cycles of the universe, trust that there is a higher power that is a beneficent power for the things that are going on in the world. Love always wins, right? Love overcomes all. And that's one of the things that we can even see numerologically, that the energy of six always seems to, when we think of the energy of love, we think of the number six and how love flows in the world. And I know that's kind of me throwing that out there, but trust me when I say it's an important concept. Now, this morning, I thought it would be an idea, a good idea to read where it is in our Rosie Aronson book, The Wisdom Keeper's Guidebook, Inner Guidebook, excuse me, where the gate five is. And I want you to take a look at this guy's face because he exudes love, patience. I don't know. There's just something, you know me, I love these faces anyway. But there's just something about him. He looks like he is a wise man. And the energy at the bottom says patience, card number five, gene key five, gate five, same thing, a gate of timing and rhythm. So let's read the story here. So the shadow energy, of course, impatience, the gift, patience, and timelessness being the Siddhi. It says, patience is about trust. If you trust in life, you will trust life in every moment, even the challenging moments, and in so doing, will always remain in the flow. Here's the wisdom story. When I was a young man, I was always in a hurry. My breath was shallow and my nerves on edge. No matter how things seemed on the outside, I always felt that something was wrong on the inside. I owned a small grocery store, but had my sights on something bigger. I believed that if I didn't make things happen, they wouldn't happen. My destiny was all up to me. Time was running out and I was failing. Raise your hand if you have felt that before in your life. There were times when I was so impatient and so desperate for my business to grow that I became very pushy. So pushy that my staff quit. Suppliers refused to work with me and customers stopped coming in. In my despair, I became consumed with pessimism, believing nothing would ever work out for me, no matter how hard I tried. But then one evening, when I was sitting alone and wondering whether I should give it all up, a kind old man knocked on the gate. He held the Book of Changes in one hand and a tiny tree in the other. The Book of Changes is what the I Ching was called, the Book of Changes, and a tiny tree in the other, so beautiful it glowed. I let him in, and the two of us sat down together and talked for hours. I lost track of all time. Next thing I knew, I was agreeing to become his apprentice and learn the sacred arts of I Ching, divination, and Penjing, which is Chinese bonsai. That was many years ago. Now I can laugh as I acknowledge just how much patience it took for me to learn patience. How many times my master had to remind me to slow down, breathe deeply, and accept whatever was happening in my life. There was no need to manipulate, conquer, or collapse. He taught me to treasure nature, flow with the seasons, and that a similar, perfect, and orderly rhythm lived and moved in my own soul. Yin would always turn to yang, and yang would always return to yin. Patience paid off. My teacher and the trees taught me to trust life, to honor each moment, even the hardest, most painful ones. Now my life is simple, and I often enjoy the most delicious states of timelessness. Isn't that wonderful? My gift to you. It is time to soften your shoulders and relax your breath. Get quiet. Listen to your own heartbeat. There is nothing you have to do right now. Life is deeply intelligent. Its timing is impeccable. It always knows what's best for you. And you, my friend, are an intricate part of life, forever connected to everyone and everything around you. I'm here to remind you that nothing happens by accident or without a potential gift. A delayed train can lead to an unexpected encounter. A personal crisis can birth a healing opportunity. An individual's pain can unleash collective transformation, and all with perfect timing. So take another deep breath, step out of the way, and befriend patience. Your soul will thank you for it. All right, here are the questions for contemplation. Where in your life and with whom are you feeling most impatient? If you fully trusted in life's perfect timing and that nothing happens accidentally, how might your thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and relationships change? What might you do or not do differently? Remember the last time you experienced a sense of timelessness. Where were you? See if you can be, capital B-E, more and hurry, worry, less today. If you experience an uncomfortable feeling, tell yourself, I'm embracing this feeling for all of humanity. Nice, right? That's pretty profound for us to understand today as we walk into the energy of a full lunar eclipse, full moon lunar eclipse. By the way, I didn't mention what some of the more negative traits are of Sagittarius energy that we want to watch out for. These are the things that maybe we see within us that we want to shift and move. And that might be taking shortcuts that are born out of that impatience, becoming self-righteous, right? Like I did, climbed upon my soapbox. And what are we being self-righteous about? Assumptions or making assumptions, excesses. This is Jupiter driven, so we can possibly be overdoing it, over the top, being overly extravagant. Or on the other hand, also it's about blunt talk. Remember, the voice is a projected energy and it works best when it is invited out of us. So sharing criticism or your viewpoint or opinions when invited to and not before. All right, so let's go back over here. Look at comments, questions. Allison says, we deserve more than that. Absolutely, I agree. Ursula, higher learning indeed. I bought the card deck you spoke about, the Galactic Heritage. Nice, 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 nice. This one here, this is the one she's talking about. And it is an amazingly great learning curve for me. Wow. Yeah, this has been an interesting journey for me to get these cards because there's this idea of a galactic family that on one hand, I really want to believe is there. But on the other hand, I've been sort of like, that's a bunch of baloney. So to me, this is going to be an interesting trip through this galactic heritage. Like the fact that there might actually be planets with life in the Pleiades or the Arcturus, Sirius systems, Orion system, etc. So it's going to be kind of exciting for me to do this and open my mind to this kind of thing. Augustina, thank you for my human design charts, learning about it slowly, also embracing my Gemini sun, Sagittarius moon self for this eclipse. Wow, you're sort of the epitome of this Gemini Sagittarius energy there. And learning a lot, I'm sure, about the things you believe, the truths that you've taken for granted, and how to entertain new ideas, to be open-minded, to move forward with openness and not closed-mindedness. Amanda, big protests here in the UK too. Ah, London yesterday, Birmingham today, and more smaller ones in the smaller towns. Interesting. So I think it's one of those kind of universal things that we feel, that where we've been out of that integrity or we've been out of that alignment of we have these things, we state them all the time, right? About equality and one nation under God, indivisible, with truth and liberty for all, justice and liberty for all. But who's in the all? And I think the fact that there have been so many deaths in this country of Black men, in particular Black men, I mean, obviously many other people die, but when we are talking about the use of force against people by the police or people in power, it's often the Black men that get, you know, their necks broken or shot and killed. And I think that, you know, that speaks to the inequality in the way laws have been applied. And remember, this time period we're in goes way back astrologically to the very beginning of the Hammurabi Code, which was where the first laws were laid down, where there was a recognition of King Hammurabi that there needed to be a code of ethics or a set of laws that united society, that organized society, that created lawfulness out of lawlessness. And it was the first attempt that was made, those laws, to make things equal, right? To make the rich and the poor, the humble and the people in power, all subjected to the same rules and the same laws. Well, if you even go back to that code and read the rules and the laws, they're very similar to the same things that we think of as the Ten Commandments and the things that we think of now as the laws of the land, about killing, about how we are with laws. If people break the laws, what are the things that they would face? It's amazing to me to think that something that happened nigh on, 3,400 years ago, maybe, has resonance for us in the day. And I think this is where it is that we really have to come to the edge, right? We're coming to the edge here, and we need to really look at, are we applying these things equally, right? If we say that we're a people of fairness and justice, then why is it the poor don't get as good a health care as the rich? Why does money even enter the picture there, right? If it is justice for all, then why are there statistically way more Black men in prison than there are Black people in general in prison than there are whites? Right? These are the questions. These are the things that we're grappling with. And I guess it's around the world, not just here. So it's amazing to watch. It's difficult. There is also this resonance going on right now with the 60s, where we started the civil rights movement, and where it's really so amazing to watch. And if we can step out of the furor of it all and understand that this is a course correction, that we're asked to walk our talk and to live up to our ethics, to live up to our moral codes and our standards, to really call out people who are not transparent and who are living hypocrisy, excuse me, but in a way that is about love, right? Love would suggest that we care enough about everyone that we make things an equal playing field. So it's an interesting process that we're going through, for sure. So thank you for sharing that with me, Amanda. Ursula, I'm starting to not be so shy about talking about stargates and galactic starseed families. Woohoo! We are all ETs. That's the cosmic joke. We are afraid of ourselves. So true. So, so true. So that's a lot, I think, that for us to take in and to real. This is why I wanted to talk about it today before we actually get to it. But as you can see, we've already been experiencing this all through this time period. Not like today and tomorrow and the next day are, you know, big changes. We've been living this over the course of time, and it's just coming to this, you know, crescendo, if you will, of expression, where it's time for us to really do something, right? Show up in your personal life in alignment with those morals, or I hate the word morals. I like ethics. Show up with those ethics, right? Where are you walking your talk? Okay. So I think that was it for me. Oh, let's talk real quick before I go about today's Pleiadian Earth energy. It is 9 breathing today. 9 is the energy of harmonizing. It blends what's different with what's known and creates harmony. It is a time for us today to follow our hearts and to seek the highest and best for all life forms, all people on the planet. And breathing energy was Ik in the Mayan calendar, IK, which was a representation of breath or the wind. And it is a restless and sort of unstable kind of feeling that we get from a day like today, where things may feel a little bit like they're out of our control. And this is our opportunity to experiment with the new, to remember that we are all a part of each other. We are all waves of energy, and we are continually changing and morphing and changing again, like the wind blows, right? Sometimes it's blowing hard. Sometimes it's a gentle breeze. Sometimes it's cold air. Sometimes it's warm air. And it is this wave of energy that is blowing through us at this point in time. We're also looking into, and I'm not clear on what this is yet. I know what it was from the Mayan calendar. I'm just not sure what it is from the point of view of the Pleiadian Earth energy yet. And that is today and 2 days ago are called vortex days. And there's something about the alignment with the energy of the day and the energy of the universal day. So the earth energy and the universal energy. And they are syncing up in some way, and it creates this sort of vortex. And I'm not sure, I'm definitely going to look at that, because we have two more vortex days here in the month of June, and that's the 21st and the 24th. And so I need to sit with that a little bit and see if I can't manage to bring that to you in a more coherent way. But it is something where it may be very ramped up energy that we're experiencing today. So that may play into that feeling that we have no control over what's going on in the world. That restless and unstable feeling, maybe that because it's a vortex day. Not sure, not sure at all. But anyway, that is it for me this morning. Anybody's last comments, questions? I don't see anything else unless I've missed something. So thank you all for being here today. I do have one announcement. I will be gone from June 6th through the 11th. So I will be on air tomorrow. Next week, I will not be on air, I'm afraid. I'm taking a vacation, right? I just need that time to just not have to think about much, except maybe sun and surf and playing. I will be likely back on air next Friday. So I'll be gone though through the 6th through the 11th. But if you have any problems or any questions, you can still reach me via email. And I'm assuming I will still have access to cell or to internet. All right, that is it for me today. Everybody take care and thumbs up. Thank you, Amy. Oh my gosh. I need you to manage my social media for me. Thumbs up if you like this video, and please subscribe if you haven't, and feel free to share the link for the video with your friends or in your own social media platforms. Thanks so much. Mwah. Take care, everybody, and I will see you tomorrow, where we are hopefully going to get to play with the Galactic Heritage cards. That'll be fun. All right, take care.